You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We welcome you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for years, Raising the Standard. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And we hope you'll be blessed with what you hear, not because of Don and I and Miss Margie here with us, but because we're going to give you some things from the Word of God that ought to stir you up to know what God would have you to understand at this time of the season. We're in the Passover season, Pastor Donna, and it's incredible. So we greet all you regular listeners. We hear from you from time to time, and we honor you for listening, and we would appreciate you thinking about maybe sending an offering to keep the program going on a regular basis. And so we thank you for that. And we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island in the Bahamas. I'm glad they got that money came in, and hallelujah, that roof's going to go on that church building, and we're excited about that. So I'll quit talking here now for a few minutes and let Pastor Donna say some things that she wants to say here. But anyway, this is a wonderful time to be with you all, so we're just honored to be here, and we trust you can stay tuned in for the whole program. I'm going to blow the shofar here, and then we're going to be ready to roll.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we are in Passover now, aren't we? Amen.
Yeah, we're so in the season.
We want to mention that we do have Passover Seder on the 20th. So we would come and join us on the 20th at 2 o'clock, and you can give us a phone call. And if you'd like to bring something to share, it's going to be kind of simple, but what we're going to do is just celebrate the Lord's Passover and honor the Lord, because that's what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible said to do. The Bible says to remember these things, and it teaches us and reminds us of what's happened in the past, what's happened in the future, and about Jesus. You know, Jesus celebrated Passover, and we celebrate Passover as well. So that is all I want to say. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. I do want to give our phone number and mention that where we're located at. We're located here in Stuart, Florida, and we meet at the Alliance Church, and that's on 445 Osceola Street, right downtown Stuart, right near the hospital downtown. It's a little white church on the corner. You can't miss it. Come park around the back. So you can find us and just come and be blessed, because we worship God, because the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And I want to mention that the last few weeks you've been hearing Pastor Gene teach out of his book, The Commentary, called The Pictures of the Messiah. The Pictures of the Messiah, and also about God's calendar. So mm-hmm. all these things that he's been teaching about the feasts of the Lord and Passover and everything that has to do with prophecy that is in this book. So you can have this book for yourself, and you can use it, and you can share, and you can teach others. And it's $25 plus shipping and handling. So if you'd like to have one of those, just give us a call, or you can mail us a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Or if you just want to give us an offering, hallelujah.
That's
appreciate
right.
that as well.
This
Amen.
Radio broadcast runs us, costs $165 per week. And so if you'd like to help out with that, that would be a great blessing as well.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
It's good. I'm excited about this. How about you, Margie?
Amen.
We got Miss Margie here with us today. I got a couple of things I'm going to mention, and we're still going to be talking about Passover. And I know Margie's got some things here. But, you know, since we've studied a lot of this now, not only this year, but we do it every year, we know all the prophetic implications about Passover, and we should. But we got to remember, we want to always use a literal interpretation when we read the scriptures. A lot of people use an allegorical. Now, if you don't know what that means, it means it allegorically means it says this, but it really means something else. We don't want to get into that area, do we?
No,
but
we don't.
That's what I want to share. Quite a few years ago, I had a prophetic word pass over my desk from a well-known prophetic ministry. I will quote this exactly as it was said. It just tugged at my heart. Look what it says. About the time of the end, a body of men will be raised up who will turn their attention to the prophecies and insist on their literal interpretation in the midst of much clamor and opposition. That's where we are now. The man who spoke forth this prophetic word was Sir Isaac Newton. He lived from 1642 to 1729. He was way ahead of his time, wasn't he? He was a scientist, a physicist, and a mathematician, and he was a great man of God. Hallelujah. Okay? Now, one other thing I'm going to mention, and we're going to go from there. You know, a lot of people wonder and say, what's the sense of learning all this stuff about the Jewish things, Pastor Gene, Pastor Donna, and Margie? Why do we need to know all these things? Well, I'm going to tell you what's happened in the church. Do you know when the early church started, the Gentiles didn't come until about 12 or 13 years later. But as the years went by, more and more Gentiles came in than the Jewish people. And then they wanted to do certain things that they shouldn't have done, but they did. I'm going to read this right out of my book for you, okay? This out-of-balance theology that we have today is due to a course of events which took place over 2.5 centuries. That's a long time, isn't it?
Yes.
Following the Apostle Paul's death, remember, Paul was a Torah-keeping Jew. He certainly was. As time went along, there were larger numbers of Gentiles coming to faith in Yeshua than there were Jews. Often they would bring pagan concepts and religious practices that we have still in the church today, brothers and sisters, with them. Shortly after the death of Paul, around 66 AD, the Jewish people rebelled against the Roman Empire and made a bid for independence in the years 66 through 70 AD. At that point, anything considered Jewish was determined to be unpatriotic to Rome. Anti-Semitism became very popular. Look what's going on right now with the politicians. We got tons of anti-Semitism going on right now in Washington, D.C. And it was very popular. To make matters worse, a second war with Rome in 135 A.D., the Bar Kokhba. Again, this worst war came on, and again it weakened the role of the Jewish believers in the Messianic congregations. As the Jewish voice died, the anti-Semitic Gentiles ripped out every trace of the Jewish people that could be found in the scriptures. Substitution of biblical festivals by pagan beliefs was rampant. By the time of the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, Constantine, who was the emperor, was very anti-Semitic. Had taken over the church. Laws were issued forbidding Jewish believers to circumcise their children. Passover was replaced with Easter, which is a Babylonian fertility god. I hope somebody's listening to that real close today. Easter?
Yes.
Esther was called.
That's right. And the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, was replaced by Christmas, the Roman birthday of the sun god, and so on. Even the Gospels and the Epistles were Gentilized when they were translated into other languages and were given common Gentile names and idiomatic thoughts, causing people to miss the intended Jewishness of those scriptures. This is what's happened. And that's what this program's about. We're trying to turn this around so people will think a different way than what we see in the church today. We're so far from what God wants. So I hope you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you here as we talk some more about the Passover. So we're going to turn this over to Miss Margie and Pastor Donna, and they've got some things they want to share here as well. Go ahead.
Okay, Margie. Hallelujah. Thank you,
praise
Lord.
Praise the Lord.
As she's looking there, I'm going to just read Psalm 92.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. He took till Shantai. We just thank you. Thank the Lord for all of you who are listening or watching. And Psalm 92 is a Passover psalm. So I'm going to read it. Because we know during the time of Passover, the Jews were being persecuted greatly. And they were suffering. And it says, "It is, and God took care of their enemies." And this talks about God taking care of their enemies. It says here, verse 1, it says, "It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night." Amen. Glory to God. "Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish." Is that not happening in our country today?
Sure. Yeah.
Amen.
Sure is.
"It is that they shall be delivered forever."
Mm-hmm.
"But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt, like the horn of a unicorn."
Horn means strength, doesn't it?
Strength. "I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on my enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." And that's exactly what God said he was going to do to the Pharaoh and to the Egyptians. They would know that over there in Exodus 12, I believe it is, they would know that he is God. They would know the power of God, because God destroyed every single one of them, including the Pharaoh. Amen. So, Margie, you have something there you'd like to share?
I do. Praise the Lord. During the Passover season, God reveals his amazing grace.
Sure does, doesn't he? Yeah.
And what Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna are sharing from the Word of God and the pictures of the Messiah book, it just blesses my heart, and truly it shows his amazing grace.
Sure does.
So the Lord gave me something to share in song, and I'd like to express it from my heart.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am was blind, but that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And I have a few scriptures about his grace.
That's good.
In Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved.
Hallelujah.
Through faith. It's not by our works, it's by faith.
That's right.
And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace means favor, mercy, elegance, and pardon. And I think of Yeshua's elegance at all times. He had the elegance. Even on the cross, he had elegance. In Luke, if we could go to Luke 23, verses 32-34. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, and one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Was that elegance?
Sure was.
Was that mercy? And forgiveness.
That's right.
And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And in verse 39-43, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same
condemnation? Yeah.
And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Appropriately, the free, unmerited love and favor of God. In Romans 3,
thank you, Lord.
Romans 3 and verse 23.
Thank you, Lord.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness.
That's right.
For the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And Hebrews 12:28.
12:28, okay.
Yes. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire.
Thank you, Lord.
Isaiah 55.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yes.
Isaiah 55.
Yes, Isaiah 55. I'm sorry. Yes, Isaiah 55, 1 through 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters.
Yeah.
And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. When we come to the Father and we humble ourselves, it's a free gift.
Sure is.
And he saves us, it's free. It's a free gift.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and become, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David.
Thank you, Lord.
And Luke 24. We could go there.
Luke 24.
Yes, 44 mm-hmm. through 49. Thank you, Father. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you,
yeah,
that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses.
Yes.
As Pastor Gene and Pastor Donna were sharing last week, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me.
It's all about him, wasn't it, huh?
Yes, Father. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day.
Yes, Lord.
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power on high.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Endued with power from on high. That's from the Holy Ghost, right, Pastor Gene?
Yeah.
Amen.
Sure is.
Amen.
Well, you know, I was thinking about something here while Margie's been sharing what the Lord showed her. You know, one aspect we haven't really talked much about. We did in the past. But, you know, I've asked many pastors this, Pastor Donna and Margie, over the years, and asked them, why was Christ on the cross for 6 hours? Why didn't God just have him die like the lamb that they sacrificed in the temple? Well, we know it was 6 hours. It was a man's number. And most of them tell me, well, it was a man's number. But see, Yeshua had to fulfill everything that was written about him. And he was the morning offering, free will offering, and he was the evening one. He had to fulfill both of those. So the Father had to keep him on the cross before he died for those 6 hours. When you think about it, it's amazing.
Yes.
And so he fulfilled all that as well when he was hanging on that cross. And the last thing he said, remember, he said, it's finished. And you think about it, on the day of Passover, when they had the sacrifice prepared for the afternoon oblation or offering at 3 p.m., they tied, it tells you that in Psalms, they tied the horns of the altar, I mean the lamb, to the horns of the altar and prepared that animal to be sacrificed. And then right at 3 p.m., the high priest would go up and cut that lamb's throat and say it is finished, saying it meant it was the last sacrifice that would finish the day of Passover. At the exact same time, our Lord up there on Golgotha said at the same time, it is finished. And in what he said, it's finished. It's the last sacrifice that will ever be required again. It's incredible what we have with Passover. Yes. So he had to fulfill all of this, and he has. And I want to think about it. It's amazing. You know, even the things he spoke on the cross, there were seven things he said. Here's that perfect number for God again. And of course, he finished it with it's finished, didn't he? And he knew, and he told the people that are around, he says that God, he says, forsake. He says, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And they didn't really know what they did. They thought they did, but they didn't. And so Jesus thought the Father had forsaken him, because at noon it turned dark. And that doesn't mean it was a solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse. It was dark for 3 hours, a long time. And he just showing the world that God was turning his back on sin, that he hates sin and doesn't want nothing to do with it. And so here we have the man that died on that cross for you and I on Nisan 14. It wiped away all of our sins. All we have to do is appropriate what he's already done for us. And when we do, we can be saved. And all we have to do is ask. It's a free gift. You don't pay one thing for it. You never earned it. You never deserved it. But it's the grace of God. As Margie talked about, the grace. And there's so much grace through all this that the Lord has given us. And I'm thinking about what it says in the book of John, the Gospel of John, verse 12, but as many as received him, who Yeshua, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, remember this now, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. See, we're born again by God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Amen.
Amen.
So it's an awesome thing when we think about what God's given us through all this. And then we go over here to John chapter 3. I'm thinking about what Nicodemus, here he was. He was a Pharisee. He knew the scriptures inside and out, and he didn't know the answer about being the renewed life that God wanted everybody to have that came by the Spirit of God. And that's what happened in Exodus chapter 12.
Yes.
When God changed the count, he was showing their spiritual birth. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. What's that mean? Born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He will not taste of it. He won't understand it. He won't know anything about it. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? See, he was back in the natural. This is a spiritual thing. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I want you to notice this verse. If you got your Bible open at home, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit, this is a capital S, is what? Spirit, small s. Born of what? The Holy Spirit is a spirit that's in us. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Isn't that amazing? Marvel not. These other Bibles say, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. That's not what the translators wanted us to know. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he's talking to Nicodemus, ye, it means you all, must be what? Born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound of thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit up here, the wind is a picture of the Spirit as well. So what an incredible, you know, gift that we have.
Yes.
And then let's go on over here. Verse 14, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Now, these next two verses are very important. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world, listen to this, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Incredible when we think about it. Verse 36 in this chapter, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he shall believe, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That don't sound too good, does it, huh?
No.
But Jesus came to do the work to free us from the power of sin and death, and that we can be born again and live with him forever. So it's amazing when I think about all that God's given us in the John's incredible things he wrote. Somebody go turn over to 1 John and read chapter 3, verse 8, if you got a moment there. This goes along with John 3:16. John was an incredible man of God, wasn't he? What he wrote for us through by the Spirit of God. 1 John 3.
Okay.
1 John 3:8.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
There you go.
Amen.
He might. You
Amen.
Got something there, Pastor Donna? See, looking. I thought you had something you were going to share there.
Are you going on from where you're at?
No, I'm just wanted to
Thank
share
you,
that.
Lord. Hallelujah.
That takes care of our
of
altar
it, right?
call. It's Yeshua. You need him more than your next breath. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. There's nothing as important. Where you live, what kind of job you have, who you marry,
right.
It doesn't matter. Those things don't mean anything. What matters mm-hmm. is the spiritual side. You must be, we just read that,
again.
You must be born again to be in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Born from above. Go ahead, honey.
I was thinking about what it says over here in Luke chapter 22.
Okay.
It talks about the Feast of Leaven, the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Okay.
Drew nigh, and it's called the Passover.
That's right.
It's not called Easter.
It's all lumped together,
it's
right?
Passover.
Uh-huh. That's right.
It was so many days. It started on the 10th when Jesus rode into Jerusalem.
That's right.
And they said, you know, how people were worshiping him.
Okay.
And hallelujah. They're worshiping, putting their coats or the clothes down, and he was going into Jerusalem. That was on the 10th. That's when they laid up the lamb. And then on the 14th, we know that that's when the Passover started. Well, it says here in verse 8, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And, of course, we know that verse 7 says, and came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. So that was on Nisan 14, and we know that that's when the Passover was killed, and that's also when Jesus died on the cross.
A note with that, Pastor Donna, that first verse you read,
yes.
It shows as you look at this, the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh. They're combined together, unleavened bread and Passover. That's all part of the Passover season.
That's right.
Go on, honey.
So so they were looking for a place to prepare to have this Passover. And Jesus said, behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall a man meet you. So here's a prophetic word that Jesus is giving them. He knows all things, right?
That's right.
Bearing a pitcher of water, follow him into the house where he entereth in. So they saw this man. And you shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? So this is this was already there. It was already prepared. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. So everything was already prepared for this Passover. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. So Jesus sat down and his apostles as well. And he said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
Yes, Lord.
And so he meant that. He says it would not be. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So the next time that he will drink from this is when the kingdom of God comes. And
we'll be with him.
We will all be with him.
That's right.
And we will all have the cup with him. He says, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, now we got another cup. This cup is the new. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. So now we have a New Testament. He's teaching them. He's changing.
A renewed testament.
Renewed testament. He's changing from the old way to a new and living way.
That's right.
Which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. So even the enemy was right there at the table when he was having with his disciples. It's just
he ate with them, didn't he?
just like Haman, he was there. He was the enemy of the Jews.
That's right.
Well, this man, Judas, was the enemy of Christ. Amen.
Yes.
And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. So you know, many people betray Christ. They're Christ haters. They hate Jesus, and they will suffer. And because we have to, all these other men, but he allowed him to be there. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Wow. Mm-hmm. This is important. And Jesus said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called
benefactors.
But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve.
That's right.
Amen. For whether is greater, which is greater, in other words, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth.
Wow.
He's the one who served them. He's the one that told them he stood up and he got the towel and he washed their feet, didn't he?
Yes.
He says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. So many people left him during that time, but these were with him. That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's not leaving Israel out, is he? He's not
Israel out. No way.
Jesus never left Israel out. He came for his own. He came for the Jewish people, but they received him not. They didn't receive him. And Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Well, that's not any different with any of us. Satan hates us because
he wants to sift us too, doesn't he?
He wants to sift us as well.
That's right.
But Jesus said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So he said, he's teaching him and telling him what's going to happen. And he's also prophesying how he will. See, Peter never thought he would ever say anything against the Lord. But he did. And you can go on and read what it says in Luke 22, where he did speak against the Lord. He had fear come upon him.
That's right.
So he didn't, even when Jesus was on the cross, you know, a lot of those men, they took off and they ran somewhere else. But only John was left with the women.
Only one, the only disciple that was stayed,
right.
Yeah.
And so here we see that Jesus is teaching them, even at this point of his last supper with them and his death with them, because then, you know, he goes on and he goes out as Peter denies him. Peter denied him how many times?
Three times.
Three times Peter denied him. And then he took them out into the garden, right, to pray. And what did they all do?
They all fell asleep.
They all fell asleep. And it happened more than once. You know, it happened more than once. And so, you know, Jesus is telling us it's not, there's things that may not be easy for us to do, but we have to continue to trust in Him and believe in Him and follow Him and, you know, and just speak speak life to ourselves and you know, tell the enemy to flee, because Jesus has overcome the powers of darkness, the powers of the enemy, because of the work that He did on the cross.
That's right.
Amen, Pastor Gene?
I was just thinking, a side note here, you know, that night when they came, and verse 13 says, they went and found as He had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. They actually had their meal the night before Jesus died. At sunset that night, it became the 14th. So all the Jewish people would have their meal, what, later the next day.
Yes.
But Jesus had it. He couldn't have had it the next day because he'd already passed away. So this was on the 13th of Nisan, and then at evening it became the 14th, and we know they had the kangaroo court mm-hmm. during the night, put Him on the cross by 9 in the morning.
He had to be in the grave before they
That's
had their
right.
Passover meal.
That's right.
You know, but it's interesting, you know, Jesus said, he told them, well, over here it says, He says, Jesus turning unto them said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me,
yeah.
but weep for yourselves and for your children. This is still valid for today. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear. Well, there's people on TV now saying women shouldn't have children anymore.
Yeah.
The end of the in world our is in
our political in 10, arena, yeah.
10 or 12 years.
Yeah.
Well, this is like what she's saying, this woman. And the paps which never gave suck. There's many women that never have had children now.
That's right.
There's a lot of women that have never had children.
Because they don't want to have them now.
Right. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? So then Jesus goes on and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what
they do.
That's
right.
So we are in the last days, and Jesus will be coming back soon. We'll turn it back on you, Pastor Gene.
Okay.
He'll be coming back soon for to catch us away.
People that are looking for Him to come back.
Amen.
Not a bunch of people that are not looking for Him to come back.
Amen.
That's for sure, yeah. So you put all four of the Gospels together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can see the entire picture that's in there. And some of the terminology, as we look at, we might get confused. Sometimes it talks about killing the lamb during unleavened bread. Well, the season is what? From Nisan 10 till the 21st of Nisan. That's called the season of the Passover. Amen?
Amen. Glory to God.
And we mentioned this last week about why Jesus couldn't have died on Friday. It's because there was two Sabbaths during the week of His passion. And I believe from my study that He died on Thursday, and the next day was the first day of unleavened bread, which was a high Sabbath. And then the next day was what? The weekly Sabbath. And we can see this right where we're at here in Luke. I was just looking here while Donna was reading here. In Luke, I'm in chapter 23, verse 55. It says, the women also which came with Him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how His body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. I showed this to you, I think, last week, that this word day is plural. They rested the Sabbath days according to the commandment. Amen? Unleavened
yes.
bread and the weekly Sabbath. And then chapter 24, verse 1, talks about, now on the first day of the week, now we're talking about Nisan 17, when the Messiah came out of the grave. And we showed you earlier, last week, I should say, I got yesterday on my mind, that we can prove from Exodus chapter 14 over there that Yeshua came out of the grave on the morning watch, 3 to 6 a.m. Interesting, huh?
Amen. Morning watch.
The morning watch.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
See verse 54 right here in the same chapter. And that day was the preparation. We told you that's the day of Passover, was a preparation day to get all the leavened things out. And they only could use unleavened bread and all. They had to remove all that from their home. And it says, and the Sabbath drew on. This doesn't mean the weekly Sabbath. This is talking about what the preparation day was, the Passover. So what's the next day? Nisan 15. That was a high Sabbath, not a weekly Sabbath. So you can get confused with that too, see? Mm-hmm. So we put it all together, all four Gospels, and you get a complete picture. Amen? What an incredible event.
It is.
What an incredible event that we have with all this when I think about what Christ came for us and what
Thank
he did.
Lord.
And I'm going to go over to Peter.
Okay.
I just got all kinds of scriptures going through my mind here right now.
Okay.
But we have so much to be thankful for.
Well, you know, while you're going there, I was thinking about even when he was on the cross, he was still calling for people for salvation.
Sure was.
Because there was a man, there were two men on crosses as well, mm-hmm. and one of them cried out to him, and he said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise."
That's
so it's
right.
never too late. You know, if it's never too late for somebody to come to the Lord. That's what Jesus said. He said, he said, forgive them. Forgive
that's
them.
Right.
So, you know, tell somebody about the Lord. Tell them about Passover. Tell them that Jesus fulfilled Passover, and our communion is our Passover. So he is the Passover lamb. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to
so
God.
So I'm in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read a few things here. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to start in verse 13 of chapter 1. Wherefore, Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That doesn't mean you're not drinking. It means self-control and all. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When he talked about when he comes back. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. We got people listening to this radio right now. Maybe you're not saved and you're still in your ignorance of things you're doing. But see, the Lord will show you how to do it the right way according to his word. That's what the Torah was all about. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So we're only required for the things that we're doing is what we're going to be judged for, not what anybody else does. You can't say, well, everybody else is doing it, so it's okay for me to do it. No. It's only what you're doing. It has to be according to God's word. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, what, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. But listen to this, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you and for you and I listening to the program, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in who? In God.
God.
Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What is the truth? This book I have in my hands. This is the truth. The only truth in the whole world is in this book that we're looking at. And I'm in a King James Bible. Thank you, Lord. In obeying the truth through the Spirit, hear this, through the Spirit, capital S, unto unfeigned, not unhypocritical, in other words, love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now listen to this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. Isn't that amazing?
Hmm? Yes.
Whew, I love it.
Now,
I'm thinking about, go over to Matthew chapter 5 with me now. How much time we got? We're getting down near the end here. That's all right. Matthew chapter 5. I love these statements too. I've looked at in years past and appreciate so much what the Lord's given us. He's gave us everything we need to know. All right, chapter 5, verse 17, I'm going to start. Think not that I am come to destroy the Torah or the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy what? But to fulfill. Also to make the true meaning and things that he shares with his word and show the truth of it and the meaning behind it and the fullness of it. So the word destroy here means to abolish. He didn't come to abolish the law or the Torah. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, this is the smallest Hebrew letter, it's a yod, or one little, or one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the Torah till all be fulfilled. That tittle is the smallest stroke. It's amazing when you think about it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to pass away. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Praise God.
So if we're going to preach something, we better be doing it. Amen?
Yes.
That's what he's telling us there. And so we want to make sure we teach the truth. That's what we got. Verse 20 says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Glory be to God.
Amen. Glory to God.
They were running about trying to establish their own righteousness. Isn't that what it says?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, look at this. I'm going to go to Romans 10 now.
Romans 10.
I think we'll close here. Romans 10. Okay. We'll see what the Jewish people did in that day. And a lot of them are still doing it today. Don and I is reading a book right now by a well-known rabbi. He lived to be 108 years old in Israel. And he had a vision from the Lord, and the Lord told him that Yeshua was truly the Messiah. And he's having a struggle with people. Well, he finally passed away, but he wrote this note, and he told everybody that he didn't want it read until he was passed, after he died, or passed away for a year. And they opened it up, and they were in shock. And it caused a lot of turmoil over there because they have a different thought. All right, chapter 10 of Romans. You got something you want to say there, honey?
No, okay. Fine.
Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what?
Saved.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, and they do it over there today, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish what? Their own righteousness. What we just read over there in Matthew chapter 5.
Yes.
Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It was an aim or a goal of the Torah was to teach us. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to the Messiah. And then we go on down. Let's see where I want to stop. Go on or what? Verse 6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. It's not going to happen, is it? Or who shall ascend or descend into the deep? That is, bring up Christ again from the dead. That's not going to happen. He's already done that. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That comes right out of Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. Now listen to what this says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, they were calling the Roman emperors God. They were calling him Lord. Well, he says you got to confess Jesus as God.
Yes.
He's your Lord now. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then I like verse 10. For with a heart,
yes,
man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, what is this about the heart? For with what? Heart faith. Man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's all you have to do, you listeners today. Just believe that he died for you, rose from the grave, and with heart faith, believe that he did that for you, and you can receive salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Glory be to God.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord
shall be saved. Hallelujah. Amen.
So if you haven't called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, call upon him today. This is a good time to receive
at
the
Passover.
Lord. At Passover. Amen. Resurrection Day, Resurrection Sunday. Every day, call upon the Lord and become a believer in Yeshua, in Christ, in Jesus Christ, and follow him. Amen?
Amen.
For he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except.
That's what it says, except by him.
Except by him. Except
there's no other way.
There's no other way. So he's.
He's it.
The only way. The only
way. He's our Savior.
He's our Savior. He's right. Our Lord and Savior.
That's right. He sure is.
We're just blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 o'clock. So if you'd like a copy of the CD or you'd like to talk to us, you can call us at area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
And if you made that confession today, call us and let us know that you did that.
Amen.
So we can pray with you.
Yes, call us.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to come to our service today at 2 o'clock, come at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida at 445 Osceola Street. And that's right near the hospital, Little White Church on the corner. So
can't
come and
it.
Be blessed. And we'll worship God together, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And you want to blow that shofar, Pastor Gene?
Yeah.
Can't reach it? Okay. So we give you glory, honor, and praise. We give the Lord glory, honor, and praise. And we thank him for what he is doing in your life, in our life. Keep us in prayer, please. And we just thank you for, thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for his goodness and
yes.
And his presence even here, Pastor Gene.
And we tell you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. It's in your next breath if you do it the right way.
Amen. Your redemption draweth nigh. So we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest, and you have a wonderful Sabbath day.
Amen.
Amen. Give God the glory, because he is worthy.
He's worthy.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the spirit of prophecy.